you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? I'm just going to say this. Stick 'em up, punks. It's the fun-loving criminals. That's right. Fun-loving criminals on the SDR show this week. They come in. They perform live. Super cool dudes. You remember that song, Scooby Snacks, that was everywhere. I just really just enjoyed these guys. Super cool guys. Fun show for sure. If you're a fan of fun-loving criminals, and who's not, you could have heard them 5 days ago commercial-free if you went to gasdigitalnetwork.com and use the code SDR to get a 7-day free trial and 20% off. There's no more year or 2-year memberships, but you can do that monthly membership. Try it out for a week. You don't like it, cancel it. You won't be charged. But really, we just want you to spread the love of the SDR show. So here it is right now, the fun-loving criminals episode of the SDR show.
This is the intro to the shit show.
Hey, ho, hello. Why do you look so confused already, James? You already look...
I've been in the studio 3 times since 2019.
That's
I don't know
true.
Shit anymore.
I think you're full of shit.
I'm goddamn perfect shit. I don't know how to answer that.
All right. All right, anyway. It is the SDR show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. We got you here, James, in studio with me.
I'm very honored. This is very exciting.
Was the last time you were here in studio with TJ Miller?
It was with TJ Miller. Before that, that young rapper kid.
Oh, yeah.
And before that was... Carlo from The Godfather.
Oh, that who, fucking wacky dude.
Who wanted to punch me because after his story, I'm like, oh, so you got Me Too by Marilyn Monroe. And he did not take that too fucking well.
And I think he made up half those stories.
Oh, no. Come on. Say it ain't so.
Maybe 80% of them. He said that he was deflowered by Marilyn Monroe.
And if she basically raped him. And he's taking a bath. First of all, who the fuck's taking a bath? What are we doing here?
That's true, too.
They do bathe in England in the tub.
Yeah, but this isn't Game of Thrones. You know what I'm saying?
And Game of Thrones.
I like the way you say that.
Yeah, I'm a real dude. Can I say this is a band. Can I say I walk in? This is what a band should fucking look like.
By the way, I immediately like these guys.
From the jump.
Immediately like
them. Even if they hate me, I still love them.
Yeah, I immediately felt like, okay, these guys are cool guys. I know. You never know, but these guys are, no matter how the next 45 minutes or so go, I will stand by that these guys are cool guys.
Please.
I will say this. So I will introduce the band, and then we'll get into nonsense. But, big fan from back in the day. Yeah. This was the only time window that we had to squeeze them in. And where are you guys going? To Boston? Or
Boston.
Yeah, right Boston. After this.
Right now.
After this,
you're going to go to goddamn New
Boston,
England.
Yeah. We're on our way up there now.
I got an ex-girlfriend up there. Deliver a message for me.
Yeah, no problem.
Go fuck yourself. Luca Brasi.
It is the fun-loving criminal.
Yay. Hello. What's up, New York City?
Brian Frankenname. Fast Frankenname.
That's
right?
Cool. Okay, yeah, cool. That's how we do it.
Okay, so now... I said this off the air. I told them this off the air. This is either going to go very well, James. This one part.
Can we FaceTime Carlo Rizzi too? Let's just have it all blow up again.
So I try to do research whenever a band is coming to studio. Of course, I know Fun Loving Criminals come out of New York scene. You know, everybody knows at least 2 songs by you guys, if not more, depending on in England, probably at least 6 more. But whatever. That's the precursor to this. I do a good few hours of research whenever a band comes on, right? The thing that I found out, I'm like, whoa, this is interesting. You and your original partner met at the Limelight, right? Back in 90-ish? 91-ish? 93. Okay. So you guys worked at the Limelight.
Correct.
You told this story that you went to the Limelight on a Sunday night rock and roll church, which was where in the main room they would play a lot of rock. But in the back somewhere, they played like a mixture of rock and hip-hop and all these different styles of music. Mm. And it was like, wow, that was the first time you experienced a rock club playing different kinds of music.
Is that all
make
sense?
In the chapel, correct. Okay? Guess who was the DJ during that time frame at the chapel?
On Sundays.
On Sundays.
Was you, Ralph?
Was me. Monkey Business Crew was the name of the company. And we were the DJs, me and my friend Alan, that whole time...
Right. So you know Dominic DeLuca.
I know Dominic, and also I knew a bunch of those people,
back then, we were talking. I was talking about this door guy named Drago. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
Right, and then Neville, and of course Gation, and all these people. So in a way, they said that was the first time they heard that mixture of different music. So I am going to take credit for creating the sound of Fun Loving Criminals.
Yeah, are you the fourth member now? Are you Murray the Cat?
That is the long-winded story.
That's a great story. That didn't go bad.
Okay, didn't go bad at all.
You should be happy about that because Limelight Memories for us are good memories.
Yeah, I was a DJ in the chapel for 2 years during that time frame.
That's amazing because Neville Wells, who you mentioned, he introduced me to Huey and said we should start this band. And Dominic DeLuca introduced Mike Schnapp.
I know Mike well, too, of course.
So, and he came to our show. So all those people are part of our immediate
and then
family.
Here's this crazy story. If you don't know about The Limelight, Peter Gation, they made movies, one called Party Monster.
Oh, yeah.
There was a documentary about it, too. But there's a lot of illegal drugs and shit going on there, right? And,
wait a minute.
And it was New York in the 90s. Yeah. New York in the 90s.
But,
Jesus Christ.
This, I think I wrote down the name, but I remember.
He had his own guest list.
So there he goes. So
there was the first DJ before Ralph in the church.
There was a major trial back then.
Big time.
And they, you know, Peter Gation, I don't even think he's allowed back in this country. Well, wild guy made his money because he lost an eye playing hockey. Did you guys know that? I'm sure you did,
his
right?
His story is very elaborate, and with all the highest respect to him, because I personally put him on a pedestal for the memories he's created for a lot of people.
Yeah. Although you did say in an interview, which was not true, that he owned the Palladium also. He did not. But he was...
he ran the Palladium
before
in USA
and Tunnel. And I worked at all those fucking clubs too.
Yeah,
but
right.
You gotta let me know when you say a guy's got one eye though while I'm sipping coffee. I'm gonna spit it out.
He's Canadian. But he is allowed...
Worse than the one eye.
Right.
It's
okay.
Worse than the one eye.
Yeah, Nova Scotia. If you have two eyes, it's a problem.
Here's the story that ties this all together in a beautiful little bow. You ready?
Go for it.
There was a trial about Peter Gation, and it was a crazy trial. I was talking to a friend of mine about it today because I called him to ask if he remembered any other stories about FLC, right? And he goes, well, I'll tell you a crazy one. I was at the trial, and the trial against Peter, those lawyers used the Fun Loving Criminals flyer as representative of showing the drug culture at the Limelight.
Wow.
Right? Did you know this or no?
I can't discuss any of this information because I was a part of.
Are you pleading the fifth?
Played in the fifth.
So, fifth, baby.
Sixth, seventh.
You got to get very close. Why
whatever
is
I got a clip, you know, whatever.
So the guy suing Gation was something like Freeburg or something like
Stop
that.
Stop it.
Freeburg, something like that, right? And he was saying all the stuff that FLC stands for, like fun-loving cocaine, and there's secret messages in the fucking flyers. And then the lawyer for Peter Gation gets up and says, yes, there is secret messages here. FLC stands for Friedberg loves cocaine. And it got a laugh in the trial. So that story, it ties everything together. Limelight, I created the Fun Loving Criminals. End of story. There we go.
My middle name is Friedberg. It all comes together.
That's a good story. Good for you. I'm happy you enjoyed it. For us, it's a little different, but that's all good. That's great. It's a banyan tree.
That's a cool story, though.
Yeah, it is.
Even if I have, by the way, 0.5% of inspiration, I'm taking claim for
it. You can have 0.5% of nothing, but at the same time, the most respect to you because those nights in the chapel were great nights.
We're nice.
So to you and your crew.
It was crazy because it was also like I remember once the guy that ran the manager's name was Tom Lord.
Yes.
And he said to me once, we consider it a failure if the chapel closes before 5 a.m. Yeah. Because we'd start at 10 and really the vibe didn't start till 12.
Dude,
and,
I love you saying vibe.
Yeah. It was the 90s, you know.
90s.
Shout out to the Joneses. They were running it.
I also love that I know now that you go to bed like at 10. And
now
you're like, the vibe. Don't
the vibe in my bedroom
midnight.
Is awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was nip. But so you guys did go. You did meet there. That's cool. I wasn't even sure that part was
true. We worked there for years and years.
Yeah, that I knew. That's pretty. But you didn't know each other prior to that.
Negative.
Wild. Okay. And so now also, just because this I didn't find out, where did the name Fast come from?
When I went to college, I started drinking, smoking weed, and speaking very quickly to where I would change subjects, and it was a bit of a spectacle to behold, I've been told. But those days have slowed down a lot, you know, kind of like your bedtime.
The whole staff makes fun of me. I go to bed the latest I go to bed is Wednesday nights, which is like 11.
Oh.
Oof, geez, that's hard.
He wouldn't go to a party I was throwing, 10:15. He's like, oh, can't you do it earlier? I'm like, what hours do you want me to do as a goddamn comedian?
You'll go to a matinee. Do a matinee.
I would love it if
on
you did
on a Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it would make me so happy.
Yeah, I'll do it just for you, sweetheart.
All right, so now,
yes.
I was saying this off the air. I'm listening to the new EP that just came out, Roosevelt Sessions, right? And there's a song on it. I think it's the second track, and it's called, I wrote down the name, but I listened to it a few times.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Let me just say, before I can't find the name in here, but to me, this is about the departure of the other member, or am I wrong?
It can be seen like that.
There's
multiple angles you can see that song.
You're talking about Shake It Loose.
Shake It Loose. There we go. Thank you so much. And am I right? At least there's some...
Partly right. Yeah, partly right.
Right, okay. Because you guys have been together for a while.
Long time.
Yeah, long time.
I think it's probably longer than he, at this point. He left...
Like a year and a half ago.
So that leads to my question. You came into, now I'm the lead singer of the band, full on.
It was similar to the way he was the lead singer, because at the time, he was a guitar player, and he wasn't a singer, but he had the best sounding voice. So I'm really the only one that has a close to New York sounding voice.
Yeah.
And, I feel like I'm partly responsible to do that, so I owe it to myself to be a singer. But I don't like singers. They're arrogant pricks.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
James is a singer.
I'm a fucking bass player, baby.
You know what I mean? Let's see, bass players are good. I'm a bass player.
Bass players are all good.
But yeah, so now that I'm a singer, I just don't like myself anymore.
Oh, that's fair. Fair enough. Right. And so this is an EP that's out. Recently, prior to that, you put out... you called Another Mimosa, which is a covers record, right?
That's right.
There's a crazy Aussie cover on there. Was that the original? That was on that one, right?
No, that was on the crazy.
That was on the first one.
Crazy Train.
Yeah, but so you did Mimosa was the first one. This one is the Another Mimosa. Came out 2019, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that.
How'd you pick covers for that?
We didn't really want to do that record, but we weren't in a position to write a new album with the way things were going.
Right, you were in the midst of the chaos.
Some nonsense. So it was pre-pandemic, all that. We put it out like years before that. We all chose a few songs and then realized when we were finishing the record, we don't really like this record, but let's give the fans something. You know, we didn't write the songs and stuff, and, you know, we were in different positions, what we wanted to do.
The whole idea of that record was to get us, bring us back together and make us want to go in and make another record, but that didn't quite happen. So.
And you're on tour now.
Yeah.
Am I right? And again, I don't like to bring up the past so much, but the other guy that is no longer in the band, I feel like his name shall be named, and shall not be named.
He's like a Harry Potter villain.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Wouldn't want to do a lot of songs that you can do now. Is that right? Is that true?
We just never really rehearsed. It was something we were sort of known for, not rehearsing. So our crews were always like, what the hell's going on? They don't ever rehearse. So the shows were rehearsals. They were general parties. But we realized we had to do something different, you know, in the absence of him, you know, leaving the band. So... it was a great opportunity to play a bunch of songs we haven't played for a while, especially with Naeem coming in, learning 40 songs. Might as well give him 60 to learn. So,
how many are you changing the setup that much while you're
on? We change up quite a bit, but it tends to be, you know, there's the structure the same.
There's the main core of songs that you have to play. We know the fans want to listen to, you know, but then we are mixing it up more than we ever have because it did get. Ralph, it got pretty fucking boring, to be honest.
I have to imagine.
Doing the same set all the time. Right. So, yeah, it's nice to twist it up, you know?
And also, am I right? Because again, when Jay is on here, when I'm wrong about something, boy, does he have to shit on me if I'm wrong. But he does zero research, so him, right?
Whoa.
Weren't you at least briefly in the Happy Mondays, or am I wrong about that?
No, you're right.
Well, great fucking band.
Yeah.
Right, great goddamn band, let's be
great
honest.
Great band.
24-Hour Party People is one of the greatest movies of all time. Let's just be fucking, let's put all our chips at the table right
now. So how did you come about to joining these guys?
Well, I met Frank in a Banana Warehouse. We were working night shifts there.
Wait, can we pause for 2 seconds? I almost wore my Savannah Banana. Oh, Banana?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Warehouse. Fife's Bananas.
Oh, God bless America. Or England.
Have you read the book about the guy that started the banana industry in America?
It's a big book.
It's called The Fish That Ate the Whale?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a fucking great book.
Everyone tells me to read it.
And you know, Shannon's favorite singer in the world, Edwin McCain, when he did the show, he asked me, told me to read it. And he sent me the audio. Well, listen to it. I listen when I run. It's a great fucking book.
Jesus Christ.
It's wild. It's wild.
Wait, anyway. I was on that episode.
With Edwin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I don't remember shit. Go on, sir.
Sorry.
So Frank made an impression on me from back then. I ended up working as a sound engineer at a club. Frank was in one of the bands playing. I thought, I've got to be in a band with him. We started a little band, and then he got the call to join Fun Loving Criminals. When he joined them, he asked me to be his roadie.
Oh.
So I used to carry all the gear and help set up.
Techs,
and
we call them techs now. It's disrespectful.
Yeah, roadies don't
it's
like
roadie. It's racist to call them roadies.
Because I'm not a roadie anymore. I can say roadie, but
that's
roadies
right.
like to we call themselves fuckos. Sound engineers. No, sound technicians.
Really? Even that's the guy that's just carrying shit in?
That's what they call themselves. We call them fuckheads.
What about the guy that decides who you're going to doink that night? Is that also a technician?
That's the trim coordinator.
Oh, there's my guitar from home. By the way, I apologize in advance for how in bad shape it probably is.
I'll make it nicely.
We'll make it work.
Oh, I could have brought something.
But if you knew, I didn't know until 10 minutes ago. If you knew how many people played that guitar, you might be impressed.
Baby, right? You're really leaning in tonight, and I love it, baby. You have a good time.
All right, so going back to the, now you guys are together. The new, yeah. You did this, the album you didn't really want to record in 2019.
Yeah.
The EP came out in September.
Yes.
I think it's four tracks. I could be wrong.
It's four.
Four tracks. What I like, does the EP have to be four?
No.
Because
we're doing a six-track in a few months.
Oh, so. You're not? I read you're doing a full length. You're not going to do the full length?
We're breaking it up. Mm. We'll never put it out because you just got it.
Doesn't matter anymore, right?
Yeah,
right.
Well, we can do more,
exactly.
more smaller.
I like to give drip feed people, yeah. You know, people ain't got the attention span, man. Now you know
I
what it is. Who the fuck's gonna sit down and listen to 17 tracks? It's gonna take you an hour. Who's got an hour in their life?
Well, they only listen to the first 30 seconds,
you know,
right? And you have to think about it. I mean, what's good about it, which I'll get into, because even the new stuff does have sampling in it. It allows for very TikTok-y shit. And I don't know if you have to think about that when you're recording nowadays. Like, can I get a clip that would make sense for TikTok?
Because we don't think like that.
No, but if you
it
did,
makes me love you even
if you
more.
Did, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank God you don't.
Thank God.
But that's how I think. That's why I'm the.
Well, you can write. You write the next EP.
I mean, well, I do have 0.1%.
I mean, the band started because of you, for fuck's sake. You know what I mean?
The inspiration. You're the muse.
I'll take it. I'm telling you, I'm taking it. I'm going to put it on my resume. All right, before we go any further, one of our longest running sponsors, it is Yo Kratom. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. The easiest, fastest, and best way to get high-quality kratom is at YoKratom.com, where you get unique strains, custom blends, stuff that will arrive immediately, phenomenal customer service, and all in that cool kilo quantity at YoKratom.com. It is just $60 a kilo, where you know it's not stuff that's been sitting around forever. You know it's high quality. You know Shannon loves that train wreck strain more than anything. And you know it's all available at YoKratom.com. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into it. But the EP, you recorded in like 2 days, right?
The music was written over years and years. We have a vault like Prince does of just unreleased tracks and beats that we pull from. And
the song part of it, the lyrical writing and us jumping into our own studio and banging it out, it took like a day and a half.
That's great. And I noticed that, I mean, I'm sure I'm not breaking any ground with this, but Fun Loving Criminals has, like, I would say a couple different aspects. Sometimes it's like this loungy, jazzy vibe.
Yeah, man.
Sometimes like a little hip-hoppy, rocky vibe. And so when you're putting these, like, I mean, the cover songs, most of those go to the jazzy lounge side. But do you think about how to break that up? Or is it whatever happens organically? Or this one, this album, this EP is going to be more this. This EP is going to be more that.
That.
That's what you do.
That's what you
we got said. A lot to choose from. And these four seem to be good ones to put out now. They were reminding us of, you know, the times in New York and stuff. Mm-hmm. So growing up, so they were
especially the opening track feels very like a classic.
I like to think
big time.
A lot of our music really is it's kind of like in a film. I see a lot of our music like films, you know, and it's like this EP was like, you know, uptown smoky jazz, low red lighting. That's how I see the Roosevelt Session. Now the next one will be.
Who knows? Whatever it's gonna be.
A hip pure four hip hop songs. The next one could be a bit more rock orientated. But I see music like I see films. That's how I like to look at it.
So by the way, listening to him in his English accent, everything he says sounds important.
It's the best.
It is important though. It is.
Back, I just was finally in England. So I loved
I was too. Did you go?
I was the first week of October.
Whereabouts?
I was in London and then we went to Ireland and I stayed in Soho. And I got lost. It was fucking great. Soho, a little dodgy. Can we be a little blunt here?
I think we were there the
same
time. Seen
it 20
they
years
don't like.
Oh, I'll give you a time machine. What's that?
I think we might have been there.
No, you were at Skankfest. I had to stay back.
Oh, so I was there the week before. The week before.
Well, they live in the Midlands, which is Leicester, which is the true England.
Ooh, Leicester City.
They don't like London at all.
It's a tough year, baby, right now.
They think London's for fucking pussies.
Yeah, London's like pussy hole for us.
Well, all right, take it easy. I'm going to go up north.
Family show,
fellas.
Sure it is. Squirt, squirt.
You would have hate my new shoes. blues.
Midlands is where it's at, baby. Midlands. You're talking Birmingham, Leicester, Coventry, where the Specials are
Nottingham.
From. Manchester, where the Stone Roses up in money. That's where you want
to
be.
Roses,
you
know?
I want to go to Manchester. We're supposed to in the summer. I want to go to goddamn Birmingham, which I mispronounced like every other word in my life. Because that's where metal started, as we all know. Black Sabbath, later Priest. Man. Let's fucking dance.
Yeah.
Calm down, all right?
Now it's the bastard, the other day, you should see my capital.
I was wearing my Arsenal shoes. Would you have hit me? I got Arsenal sneakers because I'm
got stamped on, mate. You'd have got stamped
on. It's a goddamn accident. Oh, he don't know anything about sport. This son of a bitch, you can make up teams. I could be like, I could be wearing the Chesterfield Jones.
That's
shit.
Dr. Jones, shout out to Dr.
I don't know any of it. Yeah, I don't know any of it at all. Then, but that leads me to an interesting thing, which you guys, like a few other bands that have been on the show, like Wheatus, who's been on the show, and a couple others, that had hits in America, but were really fucking embraced in England for some reason. Like, your biggest hits were in England. Why do you think, if there's any guess as to why the band was more embraced overseas?
We spent a lot more time
over
there. Go ahead.
Because this town, which is a great fucking town, New York, Fun Loving Criminals bottled this melting pot, and it was a great export, and our country love anything, like anything New York, going back to fucking Hill Street Blues, whatever, Cadney and Lacey, whatever. You could go for, we just love New York. We love the gangster aspect. We love everything about it, right? So these guys bottled some fantastic storytelling from this city, and England and Europe just sucked it up. Now, as you know, the rest of America fucking ate you guys. That's why it never blew up. So
that's
it's that simple.
That's just a very good way to look at it.
The use of like the mob movies in that. I hope you realize my shirt's a tribute to y'all.
Yeah.
K-Belly. Cool. I'm wearing a little Reservoir Dogs, baby.
That's cool. Yeah, no. Tarantino, big up.
You're goddamn right.
It's good.
I'm having a lot of fun, Ralph. It's been a rough 48 hours. Let's get loose. I'm going with these guys to Boston. I want to be the new tech, whatever the fuck you call
sound
your
technician. Roadie.
Yeah, right,
Shannon. I think James is having a nervous breakdown.
Baby, you should have seen me a day ago. Let's talk about that. Go on.
Yes.
So, by the way, that leads into the most popular song, obviously, Scooby Snacks, has a very identifiable samples from Quentin Tarantino movie, right? Those movies. Stupid questions. Did you need clearance for that?
You got to clear all those samples, and luckily he was good. He took a third, something like that. But he and the guys from Love and Rockets took a little chunk for another sample in that song. But Quentin was cool because we didn't have to clear it with everyone else. He wrote and directed and produced those movies,
so
you don't have to go to all the different people. It's much harder sampling dialogue and stuff for movies than it is sampling a song.
So when you do a sample now, do you think about that first? Like, wait a minute, this is going to be fucking impossible.
We chop the shit out of our samples now, and then we Shazam them, and if that doesn't identify them, we go ahead.
The greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
That makes
sense. Sample from YouTube, and you'll never get busted. Those are my two little tricks for you, but I don't do that personally. I do everything 100% legal.
We replay everything.
But if it's an unidentifiable sample,
is it?
And then the band or the creator finds out, that is us. Do you have to backtrack and give them credit, or how does that work? I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll find out.
That's part of the fun for them to figure it out. No, I think these days it's easy if you just get things.
Yeah, cleared. I just don't know how hard that is. No fucking idea.
It's not easy. And back in the day, it was harder, but a hell of a lot cheaper. Sting made everyone realize, take 100%.
That son of a bitch.
But that's right when it started to get tricky.
Go back to fucking for 4 hours and worry about everything else.
But for years, I mean, it was the Wild Wild West. There's albums that can't get made anymore because of that. And then the Bismarck
Boutique.
Beastie Boys, they didn't clear anything.
What about Beck? Beck probably didn't either, right?
I think Beck did, but I'll tell you, you can't make those first three Public Enemy records. There's 100 samples on a track.
Absolutely. It's great.
There's a style of music, and I don't know the name of it, but there's no original lyrics, it's all samples. And they create songs
out of the samples.
There's a band I love. I can't think of the name right now because I haven't slept. But
Money Mark does that.
There's a name for that style of music where there's nothing create. Nothing is original. Everything is just sampled and put together. Create new songs.
You know, within a month of Paul's Boutique being released in England, Mick Jones of the Clash released Megatop Phoenix, a big Audio Dynamite record. That if you listen to that record, every song has hundreds of samples. Big English ones: Zeppelin, The Who. He never cleared it, so that's why no one really knows the record, but it's a great record start to finish. You know?
And it's weird what records are still being played from that era and aren't. Like De La Soul, I still don't think you can stream 3 Feet High and Rising, right? Because all the sampling from there.
I think they've sorted that out. I know De La got did a great thing for their fans years ago where they released everything they've ever done as a free download for like 6 hours. Everyone got it. I got it. And then because they were having all those issues with the sample clearance.
Which, I remember when Radiohead released an album and said, pay what you want to pay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was a great idea, too.
It was the best free album I got.
Yeah, that's it.
I just sent them a picture of me giving them the middle finger.
Oh, Tom York doesn't need that.
Ralph,
you're better than that, Ralph.
All right, so now a couple other interesting tie-ins.
You're better than that, Ralph.
You're better than
Mark,
that,
Ralph. You
know, trust me, hang out for me 20 minutes. You'll know that that's not true.
No, we'll talk to you tomorrow after all the whippets.
Oh, by the way, in the interest of full disclosure.
I shouldn't have said that.
I don't give a shit. It went right after the show.
Yeah.
Is a live SDR, and it's a drug one, and I'm doing whippets for the first time in my life with TJ Miller.
It's not your birthday, though, no?
No, how does
it? It will be. It will be in 40 minutes.
They only last like 30 seconds from what I'm told. So
I was just saying this off the air. I want to get into the talking off the air game. I left the great masculine band Ween last night, and they were selling balloons full of nitrous. They go, they were going ice cold. They were calling it and handing balloons, and people were buying balloons.
Really?
For like 20 bones and go whoop. And then I'm like, oh, no, wild. I gotta go. Yeah.
That's a wild scene. In England, you know, there's a pretty big whippet scene, especially around Notting Hill Carnival with a lot of the young kids. They're bringing boxes of CO2.
I didn't even know until yesterday that poppers and whippets are different things. I thought it was just different names for the same thing.
You've said poppers a lot in the last few episodes.
Poppers,
with you.
Poppers penguins.
You've been talking poppers like this I didn't know the Sopranos.
I didn't know they were different things. I thought they were the same thing.
Poppers are pills, no?
No. Poppers liquid are another gas.
Oh my goodness.
Liquid gold poppers.
Is that what it is? I don't know. As a guy that runs a show called Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, I should know a lot more about the middle part.
Yeah. What were you gonna do? I like the way you say it too. Liquid. I don't want to do it, but you sell it. You're like, yeah, liquid gold. Fuck yeah, dog.
I'll do some liquid
Frank
gold.
Is gangster. Frank is New York. He's much more New York than people give him credit for.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
So now another, I don't know if this is true or not, but would be cool if it is true, because it also ties in with me again. I like anything that involves me.
Why not,
James.
Baby?
That's good.
Is it true?
Ralph, you've got a great radio voice, bro.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's proper good.
Thank you very much. That Robert Rodriguez was going to direct one of your first videos.
He was in the talks. Because we asked Tarantino, obviously, we went for the top. We wanted Martin Scorsese, didn't even ask him because we knew we'd never get it, but we figured maybe Quentin. He's like, no, but maybe Robert would. Robert was like, no, but maybe this guy would. Maybe this guy would.
Oh, that's funny.
And eventually we hooked up with Evan Bernard, who did some Beastie Boys work and filmed a video with him here, but with a budget that no one was happy with. Then we went to L.A. and did a video for a much higher budget.
Where was he in his Robert Rodriguez-ness at that point? Had Mariachi come out? Has he already, like,
this would have been the remake, whatever.
Desperado.
Okay, so he was already Robert Rodriguez at that point. Yeah. Okay. Because my story, since I have to tie it to me, I was dating this chick. This is going back, like, fucking a long time ago, right? And she was telling me about her crazy brother who had admitted himself into a hospital so they could do drug testing on him so he could raise money for his first movie. And it was Mariachi. I dated Robert Rodriguez's sister 100 years ago. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, he saw me. You know, that's a big story, selling, you know, yourself to science to fund your movie. I mean, it's not as big as Sly Stallone having to sell his fucking dog.
Yeah, that's a great one. At least he got his dog back.
Wait, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, the dog in the movie he sold, and then brought him back. You didn't know that?
Yeah, but I can go deeper on that, right? So he couldn't even pay his rent, right? He couldn't pay his rent, and he was trying to sell the script for Rocky. Nobody wanted it. And then he just kept banging his head against the door. And they, eventually they said, okay, Sly, you'll get this much money. Go and make the fucking movie. It was great. But just before, the week before they greenlighted Rocky, he was that broke, he had to sell his dog. So he sold his dog to his local bodega, right? This guy wanted the dog. So he sells the dog for like, he needed his rent. Let's say $100, $130 he sold his dog. Then it came out in the newspaper that Sylvester Stallone, his film had been greenlighted. He's going to make this film in Philadelphia. The guy from the bodega found out. When he went back and said, I've got some more money. Can I buy my dog back? Charged him $13,000.
Oh, my God.
What a piece of shit.
That's fucked up.
That's a true story, man.
And also, I know that he was offered, let's make up amount of money. Let's say it was like $50,000 to make the movie originally, but he wouldn't own it.
Yeah.
And he said, fuck that. I'm not doing that. He held out longer.
One of the greatest ever.
It's the greatest make a stand on who you are, bet on yourself stories. It's one of the best ever. It's up there with goddamn Dolomite.
I would say it's up there with me inspiring the fun-loving criminals is what I thought you were going to say.
It's a big part of it. It's a big part of it.
Quoting Dolomite, fucking
but
shit.
It was a lot of that Rudy pop culture 90s. The pop culture 90s stuff was what was great. It was coming from everywhere.
Dolomite. I love that whole era. It's interesting because we talk about like the Beasties, you guys back. There was almost a culture of mixtape as an album, and that was really cool, man, for like that. Even Corner Shop over in England, there was so much of that where you would just take things that you were into and make it cool for everyone. And it's weird, as I'm in my 40s, and I get teased by young comics and girls I date are younger, of being old. But like, it used to be such a big deal discover something.
Oh, yeah, that was so cool.
Discover a sample and go, where'd that come from? Where'd that band come from? What quote is that from a movie? And now we can be sponges, but no one wants to be. I could find out anything and no one gives, and they tease you for it. Yeah. Well, that came out a long time ago. Well, fuck, the Beatles came out a long time ago. I listened to them in high school. What am I, an asshole?
It
Mozart
is funny.
Came out a long time.
Jesus came out a long time ago. People are still fucking listening to him.
It was cool to like be in the know for a while.
Yes.
Right? And now you're never in the know because everybody's
everyone knows everything.
Everybody knows. No one wants to know nothing.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd thing. And then the last one about, because I know we're going to have you guys do a song and we got to do the first. We got a lot to get to.
I'll slow down
the first. Wait till the first.
The weird one. So again, I'm tying this all to me, James. I don't give a fuck.
Whoa.
You shouldn't. It's a long night for
you. Whoa. Whoa, mister. Who's having the nervous breakdown now, Chicharun?
So I used to run a restaurant in New York City in the 90s, and it was called Ferrier. It's on 65th and Madison. And who used to come in all the time was Gotti and his crew.
Okay.
Sick. He's like people related to Gotti, because I think Gotti might have gone to jail. But I was like, I was running the restaurant, and then I checked the newspaper. I'm like, oh, that guy was at the restaurant like a month ago. And they all would get fucking arrested or whatever. But you guys obviously had a song with a very big hook about John Gotti.
Correct.
And a logical question, because I did research, I didn't see anyone discuss this. Was that ever something that came up with his people? Like, what are you doing mentioning John in a song, or positively or negatively? I mean, they did say free John Gotti, but was there ever anything like you heard back from his people?
One or two people and his affiliated with him and his family reached out. We had talks through management at
in
the
a
time.
Positive way,
in a like, you know, tread carefully, but we, you know, it's not the worst thing. Okay. But all good.
If the hook was la-di-da-di, fuck John Gotti, it might have been worse. But la-di-da-di, free John Gotti, it's like, all right, we're on his team.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, he provided him, and everything happened in the 90s was a great for our getting inspired for stories and stuff. So
it was a wild time. Being in the 90s in New York City for art, for music, for entertainment of all kinds, it was a
lawlessness.
It was just a wild, brief moment where even though I'm old, I'm thankful I got to see that all happen.
Oh, like, it was so awesome! It was like the 80s and the 90s. Awesome. I mean, the way I heard it is from Nico, our good friend Nico back in Manchester's got a really good friend who actually got arrested because he went out with John Gotti's brother or something. I can't remember. And they were doing blow and stuff, and they got the credit, mashing it up with the credit cards, and got the credit cards mixed up. And then he ended up going home, and he had Gotti's credit card.
Oh my God.
And he had our friend Nigel's credit card. And then he got pulled over. He got arrested. And then he ended up going to Sing Sing to do some time. This is our friend who's back in Manchester, but he was completely protected.
Because he had Gotti.
He had Gotti. So there's a couple of Gotti
tie-ins.
But the coolest tie-in.
I don't speak about those.
We don't normally speak
about them. Or the craze in England. I don't speak about them. With all the due respect to those families, you know, they've inspired us.
The cool rock and roll story that I like about the band is Barry White, and the fact that Barry White when he'd go out before the his lights would go down before Barry came on stage, he'd play our Fun Loving Criminal version of Barry White Saved Your Life.
That's fucking cool, right?
It's in his autobiography too. He writes about it.
That's why
we got a paragraph.
And people don't realize you guys you toured with Oasis, right? I think even toured with you too at one point.
We did one show, one Oasis show in New York, but we've gotten that a lot lately, which is cool. Oasis, great band for us to play with. When we did, we toured with U2. That's the only proper tour we did in America for 3 weeks, and then never went back.
Black Grape.
We did shows with Black Grape.
That's all wild. It's all cool stuff.
But we play with some cool mad people. We play with James Brown.
Wow.
I mean, spectacular.
That's fucking nuts, right?
I mean, it's, come on.
Yeah.
It's great.
That's pretty wild.
We were in a little festival out in Spain. I think it was Bilbao, wasn't it? It was Urs, Jamiroquai, James Brown, and the whole of James Brown's band was at the side of our dressing room. And I don't know if you've been to festivals. Sometimes it's like fabric that they kind of put up. So you can hear people's conversation. And every now and again, you just hear these old guys, yeah, man. And then all of a sudden, they go, bedle-a-bep, 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 with the brass. And then they'd stop, and we were just like, holy shit.
That's so fucking cool.
They're players.
Yeah. Who, are you interacted with James a little?
Because James turned up in a limo while the band have already started, and then he just walks on. And then he walks off, gets straight in the limo, he's gone.
That sounds like my ideal life. I would love to have that kind of
life. He's out of there faster than Prince. I mean, Prince walks slowly.
Yeah, Prince is the...
Because I feel that I'm better than everybody, I would really love that life.
You are, Ralph. You are. Don't worry.
Ralph, you're living that life. We know
that. You are the life.
Ralph is about that life, baby.
And then we're going to have you guys do a song, but my last question to get in before we do the song live.
All good.
A lot of people think Scooby Snacks is referencing Scooby-Doo, but isn't it a true story that it's a term used for a drug that was given out back in the day from a security guard?
Yes, that security guard, may he rest in peace, and will be, unnamed, was a great influence on the band. We'll leave it at that. But at the Tunnel Nightclub.
Did he DJ on Sunday nights too?
He did DJ. Yeah. He was security, and he'd come in and go, anyone want Scooby Snacks? And we knew they were Valiums.
Okay.
But, you know.
You still took them.
But that's also, by the way, speaking. So Tunnel, this was back in the 90s. There was about 6 clubs.
Mm-hmm.
You're too young for this.
And I was in Vegas.
Yeah, and you're Vegas. But all held thousands of people, and they'd all be packed, which would not happen now. But Palladium, I worked there one New Year's Eve. There were 7,000 people in
That's
Palladium.
That's craziness.
Wow.
Limelight, Club USA, Tunnel, and I'm probably forgetting a few others, right? But they were all...
Those were Gayson's ones.
Carbon was a little later, but yes.
Was that a Gayson club, though? I don't know.
No.
But a big club. Yeah. And you obviously
remember Rudolph also was another big nightclub guy?
Well, Sound Factory was massive.
Sound Factory was massive.
Junior Vasquez and Madonna and
it's
all
impressive that the producer's listening in and just chimed in then. That's awesome.
Yeah.
She's spectacular.
Shannon is running shit, please.
Don't even get that on the BBC.
Yeah. Fucking Chen, next time you open your mouth without asking me, can I speak?
Guys, he's going to call me a cunt again.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Shannon, language.
This long and what is going
language,
on?
Language, Shannon. Jesus.
My mom's not going to listen now.
She likes it when I say it because it's all English.
Oh, because it's like the there.
Oh, yeah, you
so
fucking cunt.
I got to use the C word on stage. It was great.
Wow, did you just clean up the show by saying that?
Yeah,
C-word?
I'm a little classier than you, sir. I'm not back in London. I'm not a top secret.
Wow.
Or in Belfast. Oh, I call that whole audience a Belfast some cunts. What are you gonna do, baby? They got it hot, baby. Beep, beep, beep.
All right, what song are you guys going to do live?
We're going to play the theme song to the band, the Fun Loving Criminal.
That's great. All right.
We never do the acoustic things, really.
Awesome. So I'm going to give you my bad guitar. I apologize in advance. We'll set it up and we'll finish this out. Okay, Shannon?
Thank you. Great.
All right, guys. Right now, here they are live in studio doing the namesake song itself. It's the Fun Loving Criminals.
One, two, three, and I come with the redneck style. Cause you know I'm getting paid by the mile. Like, hey, this, I pay this, Frank, save this. Everybody smile and act gracious. See, I rob banks, I pull pranks. Sometimes I eat Franks and Knishes. Best wishes, I'm vicious. But here I am again like CNN.
Delivery, my friend.
Yeah.
I said, stick them up, punk, get the fun-loving criminals. Stick 'em up, punk, get the fun-loving criminals. You have mercy now. Yeehaw!
Yes, we bug a lot, and my friends is loud, and I'm more freaky than Disco 2000. I scream, I yell, I bark, I bite, I hit you with an egg on a hot summer night. I never let the cops get wind of me, and I never, ever, ever say die.
Say die.
I never take myself too seriously, cause everybody know fat birds don't fly.
You know it, bro.
Stick 'em up, punk. Get the fun-loving criminal.
You know it, Shannon. Come on, baby.
Stick 'em up, punk. Get the fun-loving criminal. I said, stick 'em up, punk. Get the fun-loving criminal. New York City, baby. Stick 'em up, punk. Get the fun-loving criminal. Means with the greens, murder on your spleen. Living in a dream. Do you know what I mean? Goateed indeed, it's smart like John Steed. I steal your girlie and I steal your weed. I got so much flavor that I always leave you chewing. And I got so many styles, you be thinking I'm from the UN. Broke into the White House, I never got caught. And I'd be Neil Armstrong if I was an astronaut. I'm always optimistic about human relations. I got more friends than my man Peter Gation. We always fun loving, so don't stop bugging.
If the girl is wanting to start, you go kicking and hugging, man. Come on, y'all. Do it.
Stick 'em up, punk. Get the fun loving criminal. I said, stick 'em up, punk. It's the fun loving criminal. Big up to my boy Ralph. Stick 'em up, punk. Fun loving criminal.
Scooch, baby.
Stick 'em up, punk. Get the fun loving criminal. It's the fun-loving criminal, 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 criminal.
Yee-haw! Wow! God damn it, that was fun.
That was pretty good, baby.
Holy shit. Thank you, guys. That was fucking awesome.
Thank you, guys.
I mean, the fucking Disco 2000's mentioned. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Peter Gation's mentioned.
Peter Gation mentioned. That's,
Shannon was mentioned.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
We did it.
Huh?
This
we did
great.
It. That was awesome. That was awesome. And my guitar lasted the whole video.
It sounded great. Naeem brings the magic out in it. He just had sex with it.
I used to have an idea that never happened, which was everyone that ever plays it should sign it.
Oh, it'd be worth money now.
I always forget that I did. But I had that now.
Give me the marker. I did it once at your apartment. Come
sucks.
On.
It's just a stupid episode. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Okay.
Next time.
Guys, that was awesome. We're going to do the first, and then we're going to wrap this bitch up. So Shannon, hit the first.
We've heard about the first.
First time.
Ever you came on my face.
Ever I saw. Concert, did drugs, had sex.
All right. The name of the show is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. We've asked everybody this since the dawn of time, their first experience with all three. And we start with rock and roll. And we mean the first concert you went to. It doesn't have to be a rock concert, but ideally something we all know, not some band that we've never heard of. And one that you went on your own volition, not like your parents dragged you to when you were four. We'll start with you fast and we'll work our way down.
Okay. Beastie Boys, Murphy's Law, Public Enemy, Paramus, New Jersey.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
86, 87.
God damn it. That's
bravo.
A good one.
Yeah,
that is a good one.
That's a bravo.
One.
Yeah.
And then Genesis.
By the way, mine were equally like that.
First one was great.
I saw Air Supply and Earth, Wind & Fire, and then Beastie Boys, Run DMC.
Boom. Wow.
Yeah, ridiculous. Okay, yours?
Mine was Public Enemy, Run DMC, the Beastie Boys on the Def Jam tour. Seen them in Birmingham, UK in 1987.
That's fucking awesome. Two great ones. You better come.
It goes downhill for me.
It was Ozzy and Harriet, the reunion tour.
The House Martins in 1987.
Demis Roussos?
No idea.
Oh, that's fucking awesome, bro.
Demis Roussos.
Really?
Say it again.
Forever and ever and ever.
Yeah. Say the name of the person again.
Demis
Roussos. Roussos.
Demis Roussos.
I think he's making up a fucking name.
No.
I think it's Greek.
Demis Roussos?
Demis Roussos.
How the fuck would you even spell Demis Roussos?
D-E-M-I-S.
It's a Greek singer. I just looked it up. I also don't know.
Greece is a country in Europe.
Okay.
It's near Turkey.
Right, okay, the first proper rock and roll, I think. I saw Bruce Springsteen.
That's okay, pretty good. That's
fine, that was amazing.
I saw Public Enemy my first show. They opened for U2. Wow. And they also had the Sugar Cubes. We had no idea who this girl was singing. And we're like, yo, she got some pipes.
Wasn't Bjork.
Goddamn Bjork.
Wasn't Demis Roussos on that tour?
Demis Roussos.
Now, the first drug you ever did, we'll start again with you, Fest. First drug you ever did, ideally after weed, because most people, weed was their first drug, unless it wasn't. So the first drug you ever did after weed, or you get what I'm saying?
I would say probably ecstasy or acid, a brief experiment. With that.
And what year are we talking here?
This would be, again, 89.
Purchase at the Limelight, probably.
With a laser disc of of 2001 Space Odyssey and did the Pink Floyd Wizard of Oz.
Oh, that's cool.
So and that lasted hours.
There it is.
And then it kicked in, and then it took a long time.
Mine was obviously weed, hash, and then it was acid, which I dropped in a forest with three of my friends, and the whole forest came alive and tried to fucking eat me. It was the worst nightmare.
Wow, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, yeah, I've had a bad trip on that one. Yeah.
And did you go back and dip your toe into the acid bank?
Absolutely
or never?
Not. Never again, no.
Okay, fair enough.
I did.
I was in college, and this girl, like, kissed my mouth, and then she put the ecstasy.
She roofied you.
She put something in you? In
what's the word? Groofied
you. Roofied.
Roofied you.
That's a word.
Well, roofied usually implies that it's for Hypnol, I believe. It was a specific.
She roofied me, yeah.
She roofied you with what? Ecstasy?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow. And so you didn't know you were taking it, then you realized it somewhere point.
Yeah, because, I won't spoil your next question, because that's the next
question. Oh! Got a segue!
Name's great.
Go right into it. We'll start with you.
Go then. With you, Ny.
Well, that was my first sexual experience. Well,
so how old were you? Get closer to the mic.
I was a late developer. Mm-hmm. So
it's like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Really? Really?
In my early 20s.
You had to be nudged in by this girl giving you drugs.
Yeah.
No.
Seemed that way. Seemed that way.
Frank?
The first time I doinked.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Was... Fuck it.
You're really thinking about it.
There's been many.
Sorry.
Many first times.
Many first
not for
times.
Him.
I can't. You know what? I seriously can't fucking remember.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember.
Under 15.
I was around 15. Yeah, I was around 15.
No, he was 30. The girl was under 15, but he was...
No, it was... It was 15, and it was... in a girl's bedroom before their mum and dad come back, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about as much as I
was. When he said, I can't say, like he felt like it was a story he didn't want to tell, not that he couldn't remember.
Oh, there's millions. Well, not millions.
I didn't mean it. You have a BBC radio show and everything.
Yeah, Gene Simmons to be careful. There's thousands that I couldn't talk about. Okay, some are next level as well.
All right, in fact, your first.
Yeah, it's born in the back of some shitty car for some shitty person.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I was like 16. I'll never forget it.
A shitty car with a shitty person. Wow.
By the way,
merch.
You really are a poet. You paint a beautiful picture.
Yeah, it's so romantic.
I was it's the part of the show. I was like,
You can follow them on Instagram at funlovingcrims.
Yes.
There's a couple of tour dates still coming. You guys are leaving out to Boston as we're taping this.
Yes, sir.
A round of applause for these guys.
Great.
Oh, thank you guys, man. We really appreciate it.
The Roosevelt Sessions is out now. We add a song to the playlist every week. We'll add Shake It Loose because I really dig that song.
Thank you. We're playing it in Brooklyn this Friday.
And before we all do our plugs, is there anything else you guys want to plug before we wrap this up?
We're playing in Brooklyn. You guys are welcome to come down if you're not busy. On Friday night elsewhere in Brooklyn.
This Friday?
Yes, sir.
I feel like I might be able to do that. I'll reach out to you guys.
Yeah, please do.
I
got spots. I mean, my first one's at 9:15.
I'm
sorry. My bills need to get paid. What the fuck?
I understand.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah, okay. Your plug, sir.
The James Madden on Instagram and YouTube. Watch the Check Spot special. Listen to the Check Spot on Spotify. Me performing while people pay their bills. It's fucking chaos. It's difficult. Check it out. I'll be doing it for the last time in New York Comedy Festival. Look for that on New York Comedy Club. Can I just do a shout out to, and I can't find I don't know how to plug the GoFundMe. My home club is the Comedy Cellar and its family. We just lost Big Steve, the doorman there for years. And if you get a chance, go to the Comedy Cellar. There'll be ways to donate and give to his family. And he was the best. And we love you, Big Steve. And we'll see you again. Okay.
All right. Cool. Shannon, your plugs?
Now I feel bad to promote my own nonsense after that.
I'm sorry.
Way to fuck everything up, James.
James, keep it light.
James, anyone else die of cancer you want to talk about?
Well, here, I did a good job of this last time. Goddamn Shannon show is about ghosts. Get my friend on the motherfucker. Seance and get Big
Steve. If you really care about Shannon, get on the fucking.
Find Steve on the thing. I'll come back again.
Shannon.
Let's go.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting guests come on, and they tell their own personal experiences about their worst date experience, a time they got into a street fight, and an experience with the paranormal.
All right, don't chime in at all. But the question we ask everyone at the end, do they believe in ghosts, yes or no? Don't say anything until all three of us chime in. I'm going straight through yeses. What do you say?
Yes, no, yes.
Shannon?
No, yes, yes.
Answer.
Do you believe? Yes, yes.
Yes.
No. Ah, no one got it right.
Completely opposite.
God damn it. All right, follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast that comes out every Monday on health and wellness called The Good Sugar Podcast, opening our first location on 3rd Avenue and 69th Street.
My hood.
Will be open before the end of the year. I went and checked out the place. It's coming along great. We're adding that song, Shake It Loose, to the playlist, and we'll see everyone next time on the SDR Show. Peace.
Listening to the SDR Show.